I was running through the six with my woes.
Yeah. I was running through the six with my woes. You know how that should go.
Welcome back to Hoopity Scoop. This is an exciting episode two. I think Brian, Devin, and I were all pretty pleased with episode one. Some strong feedback from our listeners. We do have listeners now, so that's a plus. And really exciting. By the way, if anybody can rate us on iTunes, that would be huge. Or follow us on Twitter at Hoopity Scoop. Brian and Devin have been putting in some good work there. For those new listeners, we are a casual basketball NBA podcast. Excited to chat with you guys every single week. I'm Garrig. With me is Bri. Say hi, Bri.
What's going on, world?
And we got Devin.
Hey, what's up, world?
So Hoopity Scoop, we'll break it down into a couple different ways, but in short, the episode looks a little like this. If you've been on a basketball team, you know you'll start out with some layup lines, a quick shoot around where we're just casually going through the motions. The latest news is what we'll hit on here. Then we'll tip off of content going through the Northwest Division in this episode, which is really exciting. And then we'll finally close it out. Post-game interviews where we'll be just messing around, really. So it's a good kind of format that we'll evolve on, so let us know if you have any feedback there, too. To get started with these layup lines, hopefully throw down some 360s. We got a pretty exciting agenda today. I woke up at 6 a.m. this morning to some Kawhi news.
I don't know where to begin.
I was pretty surprised this morning.
Yeah, I think the whole world was surprised this morning.
And what was the entire trade package like? So, in short,
yeah, Kawhi, so we have Kawhi DeMar going to the Toronto Raptors to the six. It's Kawhi for DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a top 20 protected first round pick in 2019. That should convey this season with the Raptors adding Kawhi. Pretty exciting deal. I think a lot of us were surprised that OG and some of the other young guys didn't get thrown in.
And the Raptors also got Danny Green, right?
Oh, that is right. Yeah, sorry, I left him out.
I think this is an awful trade for Toronto. I think this was probably one of the worst things that they could do for multiple things. One, Kawhi and his camp has been extremely vocal about how they want to be in LA or in the West Coast, and I think Philly was the only other option outside of those two LA teams. So for Toronto to kind of, one, fire their coach of the year, two, trade away their like face of the franchise for Kawhi, who's only going to be there a year, and there's already rumors circulating of him, you know, not even wanting to be in Toronto. I just don't get why they would make that big of a risk. If they really wanted to slam the reset button, they could have gone about it like in a whole different path than what they're doing, I think.
That's interesting. So I'm very much in this counter opposite group. I think this is a trade that makes sense for both sides. And I think to your point, like, it's harder to hit reset than this, right? Like, as an NBA team, you only have a few ways to be great, and you need a top five player to do that. And those are hard to find, especially for a team with the Raptors that has that deep bench already. They're not going to be able to bottom out necessarily. So I think, risking it for this kid is a decent option.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Garrig. I actually think the trade benefits both teams for the most part. Kawhi didn't play all last season, so for the Spurs, getting an all-star who's ready to contribute probably will excel under Greg Popovich's system, because who hasn't excelled in that system?
Richard Jefferson.
Well, one out of 3,000, I guess. But for the Raptors, you know, they haven't really done anything notable within the playoffs. Sure, they've had some better seasons of progressing and making the conference finals and constantly getting stopped by LeBron, like the entire Eastern Conference. But I think, you know, you touched on it that Kawhi's a top five player when he actually does play. And I think it'll be interesting having him and Danny Green play alongside Kyle Lowry and figure it out in an East without LeBron.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a nice five there with Lowry, you have Danny, Kawhi, OG and Serge there. That's strong. Definitely, you know, top three right in that conversation.
I feel like DeRozan has 3 years left on his contract, so this was a great trade for the Spurs. with Kawhi about to be entering into free agency after this season, it just, I don't know. The risk doesn't make sense to me. Because if they do all this and Kawhi walks, this was a waste. Because they're not going to win this year, clearly. I mean, nobody's going to beat the Warriors this year. So I just I didn't feel the urgency of why Toronto needed to make this push for this season.
Oh, if you don't do this trade, what happens? I think you don't move forward. You're not going to get past the Sixers or the Celtics, in my opinion. And right. So, what are you then? And you're stuck with this massive amount of contracts that you can't get out of anyway. And so in a few years, you're re-signing DeRozan for another max deal at 32. What are you trying to achieve there? This at least gets you potentially to the finals and potentially having Drake recruit Kawhi to stay there. I mean, it's not impossible.
Yeah, it's not impossible. I just – seeing all that we've seen from Kawhi and how the Spurs kind of spiraled out, I just don't have faith that he'll be able to stay in Toronto at all.
I think you do. Like, Masai is one of my favorite GMs in the league, and I think he does have that international ability to promote on a global stage, which, could help his camp. Like, you can make those connections there. I know it's a reach, but I think it's worth the shot. Anything else you guys want to talk about Kawhi? I know we'll see, hopefully in the U.S. camps, see him actually out on the court, which will be a big deal. But until then, so much is up in the air.
Yeah. I'm actually excited to see DeMar in San Antonio.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that for a sec.
Yeah. I think that's – his skill set is kind of comparable to Kawhi's outside of the three-point shooting, which I think he improved on a little bit this year. He did the most out of his career. I think he was taking three a game and was shooting around 32%, which also is a career high. Mm-hmm. But, it'll be interesting. I mean, like Brian said earlier, Pop gets the best value out of all of his players outside of Richard Jefferson. So it'll be interesting to see, what DeMar can do on the floor in San Antonio with LaMarcus Aldridge.
Mm-hmm.
Fun team.
Yeah.
Not a shooting team anymore, but a fun team.
That backcourt's fun, too, with Murray there. I really like that duo. And I think if you look at DeRozan, his weaknesses are really, playmaking in that three-point range. And I think if you look at the Spurs, what are they great at? It's mm-hmm. it's those two things. So hopefully Pop can kind of pull that out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had the Spurs missing the playoffs this year.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
But I mean, considering this trade – I don't think that'll be the case anymore. But it's going to be a loaded West with the Lakers and Nuggets making moves to get into the playoff picture now.
And Suns.
And, sorry, what? Lakers, Nuggets only?
the other bit of news I thought was kind of interesting was Jabari Parker this last week got signed by the Bulls, adding another questionable piece to that puzzle.
Another injury-prone guy.
Yeah, two ACL guys on the same team is a tough play. But a Chicago kid coming home is always cool. It worked well for him last time.
Fun storyline. Great storyline. I don't know if you guys saw the clip of him talking about Derrick Rose today and how much he means to Chicago.
Because
I think one of the reporters was asking Jabari how he felt about Derrick Rose and his career being cut short and all of this, and kind of being perceived as a failure. And Jabari corrected him on the spot and was just like, "Nah, Derrick Rose achieved a lot for Chicago. He came up from, the rough parts of Chicago and is like this glorified superstar in the city. And will go down as one of the best players to ever play, not saying like the greatest of all time, but he is one of the best players we've seen on the court. So he needs more respect than what a lot of people are giving him, even due to injuries, because injuries are common even outside of athletics, which I thought was cool. I feel like it's pretty easy to root for Jabari, and I hope he does well in Chicago.
Yeah, and I think it's a pretty good deal for both sides. So it's a two-year deal with a team option in the second year. So it is a lot of money, $20 million a year. But at least the Bulls keep their flexibility there. If they want to get out of it, they can. And Jabari can make some nice money and prove himself.
Yeah.
Yep. This is the third player Chicago's brought. That's a hometown kid.
Yeah.
D Rose, D Wade, and Jabari now.
Yeah.
I don't really think he'll make that big of an impact, to be honest. I haven't seen him do much in Milwaukee. I mean, granted, he's been injured for quite some time, I agree that it's a great feel-good story, and it's cool for people from Chicago to see a native in that red jersey and somebody that they can root for. But I don't really see the Bulls making too much noise this year.
Hot take. I think it's interesting to see how they'll play them all together with Lori and who's the guy out of Duke, their rookie that had a really nice summer league. WCJ.
Yeah.
We'll see. They have to get a little bit creative there. The idea of Jabari on the wing defensively terrifies me, especially next to Levine. I don't know how they're going to stop anyone, but it should be a fun offense. I mean, Jabari has his moments. He can make plays. Definitely can pass as a big fella and kind of stretch out to the three a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Overall, I think it's a good PR story. And, you get to see if there's a 10% chance the number two pick comes to make it to what he could have been. That might be worth it for the Bulls. Cool. I think that wraps up our layup lines. Let's get to tip-off, guys.
Yeah.
So today we're talking about the Northwest Division. This is, for those that don't keep track of the divisions like I don't, the Blazers, the Thunder, the Utah Jazz, the T-Wolves, and the Nuggets. Last year was a really competitive division, with the Blazers being one game up with a 49-33 record, followed closely by the Thunder, the Jazz. Two games back of them were the Timberwolves and the Nuggets, all within 45 to 50 wins. And I think we'll see a similar thing this year. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. I mean, definitely the deepest division in the league, obviously, with all of them finishing over 45 wins. The Nuggets missed the playoffs by one game. And all of them either got better or they're building on young talent. So a lot more of the same is expected for this upcoming season, I feel like.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's exciting. So let's dig into each of these teams here, starting with the Nuggets, guys. Last year, 46-36 record, ninth overall in the West, just missed out by one game. I think that was one of the ones down to the regular season final. Is that right?
It was.
Fun times. Poor Nuggets fans, but they have a lot to be excited for. What jumps out at you guys?
For me, yeah, the Nuggets' depth is pretty deep. They have seven players that average double-digit scoring and six players who are over 30 minutes a game. So they're definitely going through their rotations, spreading the ball around. Even with Paul Millsap, who's historically a 15-9 guy, he was out most of the season.
That's right. He was the big offseason pickup last year.
He missed 44 games.
Right. Yeah, so he missed half the season, and yet they were one game away from making the playoffs. So once he comes back, they added Isaiah Thomas. I think it's definitely the team of the West that people should look out for to climb up the rankings a bit higher. And, they got one of my favorite players in the league, Mr. Jokic.
The Joker.
The Joker. Such a crafty passer. If you're not familiar with the Joker, check some YouTube highlights. Dude has amazing court vision. Just finds his cutters. If y'all know my basketball game, I love backdoor cuts and getting the cutter open through a lead pass. And this guy's just amazing at it. Kind of reminds me of Divock and Chris Webber over in the Kings back when they played together.
Yeah, definitely Divock. I like that comparison a lot.
They had a great offense this year. I think they were ranked sixth in the league in offense. But their defense was pretty shoddy. It looks like their defensive rating was 25th. So if they can pick that up and really take advantage of probably the only arena in the league with a true home court, given the altitude, they'll be a tough playoff matchup.
Yeah, they had the fourth best home record in the NBA at like 31-10. Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think the Denver Nuggets should be a playoff – or I guess we're not jumping that. let me start over. I agree with you wholeheartedly on the Denver Nuggets. They had a great season last year. Like you already covered, Paul Millsap missing the majority of the season and then still being able to finish as well as they did. I think the plus thing about Paul Millsap missing was that it gave Will Barton a lot of more playing time.
Yep.
And from that, we got to see that Will Barton deserves to be – a starter in the NBA, and it looks like that will probably be the case for Denver next year at that small forward position. And he obviously they confirmed that by paying him this offseason. We also saw like a lot of improvement from their guard play, Jamal Murray and Gary Harris. Jamal Murray jumped up his production from 9 points a game to close to 17 and even shot 40% from three while they went on their hot streak post All-Star game. And then Gary Harris was averaging 17 a game, just to reemphasize the fact that they had so many people in double digits and they're really balanced in a lot of depth.
Yep.
Yeah, I think this lineup is meshed well enough. They showed a lot of fire and like were competitive in all of their games. And they have like a consistent that team bond. It kind of reminds me of how the Warriors were in 2012, where they were like scrappy, but the chemistry, you could just feel the chemistry when you're watching the game through the TV. I really enjoy watching the Nuggets a lot this year. And when I think Gary Harris got injured towards the end of the season when they went on that ridiculous run but lost like two or three games that kept him out of the playoffs. But during that time, I want to say Jokic was averaging – oh, yeah, here it is. Jokic was averaging 24, 11, and 7 assists a game.
Ooh, ooh.
He's a monster. That guy is the centerpiece for the Nuggets. And it looks like he has the surrounding players who also could be – either big contributors or centerpieces on other teams. So Nuggets are that hot pick this year for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, and they've definitely built a great team around them. I think having Jokic re-sign for that 5 for $147 is huge, and it's exciting to be a Denver fan right now, that's for sure. What do you guys think is, like, the biggest X factor for them this season?
I guess Isaiah. The signing of Isaiah Thomas having another explosive score. Who could be clutch in the crunch time. I think that's their biggest addition.
Absolutely. If Isaiah can stretch the floor but keep the ball moving, because IT can be a bit more of an isolation player at times, but if he brings his locker room leadership, veteran presence, and that chip on his shoulder, he can have the potential of putting them over the top a bit.
Yeah,
for cheap too. I mean, he signed a $2 million 1 year deal.
Yeah,
tough to see him fall from that Celtics time and not be able to come away with some money for a guy that was, you know, Mr. Irrelevant in the draft and has never really been paid that well over his career. But glad to see you still trying here and should have a big impact on the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. Anything else for the Nuggets, or should we jump to the next group?
Yeah, one last thing. I guess rolling off of that Isaiah Thomas quotes risk. I like the other risks that they made within the draft. One being Michael Porter Jr., who we're still kind of unsure how good he is, but he's a 6'10 shooting guard. So that like gamble of taking that player who's injured throughout his whole college career. And we saw him play in the tournament a little bit and it looked a little sloppy. So it's kind of, he was an eighth pick, right? Cause Denver had eighth pick.
I think he was the 14th.
Oh, 14th?
Yeah, he fell quite a bit there.
So, yeah, I think it's a great risk, you know, low risk, extremely high reward if it works out for the Nuggets. And same, our second pick was Jared Vanderbilt. He's that guy from Kentucky. I don't think he played much this year, but kind of the same similar deal. Super hyped coming into college, didn't really play because of injuries, but he's more of a Thaddeus Youngish type of power forward, like undersized, but can make those freakish plays defensively and just needs to get that consistent jumper. I really like what the Nuggets have built. They have a young, good culture, some great experiments to work on this season. And I don't know. I think they're a playoff team.
Yeah. I've got them making the playoffs either in the Pelicans spot or taking the Blazers spot this upcoming year.
Ooh, I have them taking the Blazers or the Timberwolves spot.
Interesting. Ooh. And that's a good segue into our next group here, the Timberwolves. We think these Timber Pups are going to keep on going. What's next for these guys? They've done, I think it was their first playoff in what, 15 years or something insane around there?
Yeah, maybe since the KG days.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a fun team that was. So it's, you know, good on one side as a Timberwolves fan. You get to see your guys finally make the playoffs and make this big leap and have this bright future. Free agencies like Jimmy actually coming into town. But on the other hand, there's a lot of unknowns for them right now. Kind of surprisingly, everyone going into last year kind of thought or assumed they'd become the next Thunder or what the Thunder would have been. with James and KD and Russ. Do we think that's a reality? Let's first talk about, you know, how last season went.
Yeah, I think for the Wolves, you know, as you said, there was a feeling that they underperformed. But if you compare the season before, they actually increased their win total by 14. So they went from 31-51, really? Obviously missing the playoffs, to the eighth seed in the West. Adding Butler put a bit more talent into the team. But, yeah, I don't know. After that series losing 4-1, and their defensive ranking is actually quite low, too, within the league. They're 27th in the league in defense.
Yeah.
I felt like they underperformed despite the fact that seeds 3 through 8 were all just a few games within each other. So they could have easily been the third seed. But just seeing how the playoff series progressed, I was kind of disappointed in them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was highly disappointed for them. I felt like they had so many high power players with Cat, Wiggy, and Butler, but they weren't able to stay like consistently matched the whole time that they were playing. And along with that, we hear all these rumors of Butler not liking the young players' attitude on the team, specifically Cat rumored. So if that's kind of a deal, I don't know. It's kind of making me lose a little bit of faith with the Timberwolves, especially if you add Thibodeau to that, because, I mean, Thibodeau is the one that's kind of known to grind his players all the way to the core without like, concern. So,
yeah. I was pretty surprised by the Butler signing. It just seemed like Wiggins and Cat had so much potential coming into this year. Wiggins averaged 24 points per game last year. Cat had 25. And it seemed like they had no ceiling. But they could take it wherever they wanted. But to bring a player like Butler, who's already pretty established and is a go-to guy, somebody that needs the ball, that's taking away touches from the young players. That's kind of putting a ceiling in their development. And I think you saw it especially for Wiggins, somebody who has to share the wing and those wing possessions with Butler. Wiggins, his points per game actually decreased by 6 this year.
Yeah.
And as far as Cat, you know, he has a ton of talent, but a part of me kind of worries for centers in the NBA, especially those with kind of a walking gait. So if you look at some of the centers who run with that gait, they've typically gotten injured over the years. And I think that's just like a lot of pounding on their knee joints and whatnot. So a little concern in that sense for Cat, but I think the Wolves should build around Towns out of all those three players.
Yeah, no question there. I think Cat has the most potential. I don't know if I agree with you though on not getting Butler. Like Butler is such a guy that you can like mold at least, you know, similar to Draymond, like how do you want this team to act and be? And I don't think with Cat or Wiggins, they had that identity. Butler at least gives you that option too. And, you know, it doesn't seem like Wiggins has really gone with that and has learned from that. But, you know, again, might be worth the risk of bringing this primetime player with the attitude and the defense that they need to build on. But I think they were last in 3-point field goals attempted. And you're just not going to win a lot of games that way.
Yeah. Especially in today's league. No way.
Yeah, I actually think – so I agree with you on that, GK, that Butler was a good signing. I mean, they did win 14 more games. I actually feel that they should trade Wiggins out of the two wings. They should trade him to a team with – get some good shooters back, people to space the floor. I actually didn't know that they were pretty low in three-point shooting, so this would make even more sense. But just get a few more pieces to surround Butler and Cat. And I think that would take them further than trying to share those wing possessions and having two slashers really share the rock a lot.
Yeah, they should have traded Wiggins to Chicago instead of Levine.
Yeah, we'll see how that pans out. I think they have so much money into Wiggins in that contract right now that seems a little bit unfounded.
Yeah.
You know, what do you guys think Wiggins' cap is as a player? Like, what are we looking at here?
Go ahead.
Go, Dev. You go.
You go.
You go. I'll go. You know, I think at best he's like a lesser Andre Iguodala, where he might be able to be the best player on that AC team. But that's even a peak in my mind.
I think his ceiling is higher than, well, actually, I don't know. I'm biased, obviously, because I'm a Kansas fan, so I want Wiggins to be the greatest of all time. Eventually.
Rock Chuck.
But, I mean, I guess Iggy, I would have his ceiling a little bit higher than Iggy. I kind of want to say his ceiling is if Rudy Gay was consistent, that's what Wiggins' ceiling would be, which I think is an incredible player if Rudy Gay was consistent.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Wiggins should get out of Minnesota just for his personal reasons, because he's the third option, and all of his fans and probably even the front office are kind of disappointed by his production because he's not getting the ball primarily, and that's why his production is so low. I think it would be beneficial. I think we would see him turn into an all-star if he was on his team by himself. I wholeheartedly believe that. And I also agree that Cat should be the main focal point that they try to build around. But I also kind of feel that Cat is getting the Andrew Luck treatment, which is like when Andrew Luck first came out into the NFL, we gave him that chosen one tagline and put all this pressure on that he needs to like succeed and keep going. And have this expectation of each year of like being a playoff, the person that runs deep into the playoffs. And I just don't think that Cat is that type of player yet. But I still think they should build around him. But I guess that's a different conversation.
Yeah. I'm just frustrated by the amount of plays where they have him setting pick and pops instead of actually posting up on the block.
Right.
They have him shooting threes. And sure, that's the game nowadays, but – you know, he has such a sizable mismatch down low. He's got great footwork for a big, and his post-offensive game is pretty polished. Like, why not take advantage of that and make other teams try to play your style or try to force you into a way to play differently than adapting to, I guess, like the Rockets or Warriors? Well, those are bad examples because you have to adapt to those two. But I'm not too big of a fan of Tibbs' coaching style. I was actually pretty surprised that he played Derrick Rose such heavy minutes in the playoffs. I mean, that's opportunity for the young guns to get vital playoff experience, and he had Derrick Rose out there for like 25 minutes a game.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done in the playoffs. I think as we look to this next year and what the Timberwolves can do, it was a very quiet offseason for them, really just bringing back guys and really capped out so they don't have too much flexibility there. But point guard seems to be the position that needs the most help. They were really disappointed with Teague. And I think you have to get more out of that in order to allow Cat to be able to play down on the block more. As the best three-point shooter right now, he has to be out there to kind of help stretch that floor to get the slashers in there. So I think it's just a mismatch between what they're good at and what the offense should be ran like, if that makes sense. Everyone sounds a little bit down on the Wolves this year. Do you guys see them making the playoffs?
I see them missing this year.
Interesting. So taking a step back from where they were just a year ago.
Yeah, especially with the West now getting better and spots becoming a little more slim. I'd say the Timberwolves. I mean, they were the 8th seed, so I see them missing it because they didn't make that many improvements this offseason so far.
Yeah, and in a tough, tough division. What about you, Bri?
I still have them making the playoffs. I think Cat and Wiggins are – still coming up with their talent and polishing their game up and playing more efficiently.
Yeah, and a healthy Jimmy.
Yeah, and we'll see that this year. I don't know. I just think they have too much talent to miss the playoffs.
Interesting. I'll probably side with Devin on this one. I think there's too much uncertainty there. We hear about the locker room issues. We don't know what's going to happen with Jimmy after this year, and the West is just so goddamn good. You know, it's tough to keep pace with the rest of these teams. Well, the next team is, you know, a pretty more controversial one, even in that it's the Oklahoma City Thunder. So everybody knows them coming in last year, acquiring Paul George in the offseason, adding Melo and all the drama that he brings, finishing the year in the playoffs easily at 48-34, fourth overall in the West. Pretty strong year. I think some definite ups and downs. We saw this team peak a little bit too early. Robertson going out was a big loss for them. What do you guys think about, you know, how the Thunder did this past year?
I'll just state the obvious and say what everyone thinks, but they were definitely the most disappointing team of the West. They played well in the regular season against some of the bigger name teams. They went 2-2 against the Warriors, 2-1 against the Rockets, and 1-1 against the Cavs. And they had a few six-game win streaks or above throughout the season. It seemed like they got into more of a groove once they talked to Carmelo about really taking that third option role of, you know, spacing the floor or maybe even
putting it kindly.
Yeah. but, I mean, with re-signing Paul George and currently still with Melo on the roster, they'll definitely need to figure that out. And I just want to highlight that Melo had a really poor playoffs against the Jazz. Cool. We had Westbrook averaging 30 in the playoffs. Paul George had 25, and coming in third was Carmelo at 12 points a game. I kind of put it on him for them losing in the first round against an up-and-coming Jazz team that is pretty young and inexperienced for the most part. And yeah, I mean, it was the first time in Mel's career that he scored less than 20 points a game. Granted, it's the most talent that he's played with in quite some time and not being the first option. But I just feel like, you know, at that age, with the amount of talent that's around you, you got to figure it out and play your role if you, yeah, you want to win.
Got to hit shots. He was not hitting anything. It was, yeah, like you said, it was his worst stats. His efficiency rating was awful. I think the world got duped by Hoodie Mello when we saw in the offseason doing all those training IGs and looking sweet. And he comes out and puts up this type of performance. It was just so disappointing.
Yeah, but everyone looks good on IG. I look like a worldly traveler on IG.
You do.
Hey, but you are a worldly traveler.
Hey, but follow my IG.
Is that at Brian Abad?
At B underscore Abad, but anyways.
Yeah, I think another big thing with the Thunder is how awful their bench was. I want to say Patrick Peterson, who was supposed to be one of the like prime power forwards who could stretch the floor a lot, like he did in Toronto.
Love Pappy.
And his minutes went like he went from being a 25 minute a game type player to playing 25 minutes over 15 games and not having any points. And we kind of saw that trend happen throughout the rest of the bench. And it's really disappointing because I think this is probably one of Steven Adams' better seasons that we've seen in his career so far.
Absolutely.
And it was just a waste because of the inefficiency around him with the starting five, looking at Melo, and then obviously Russ is a high ball possessive type of player. And then the bench would just take them out of a lot of games this year. And especially we saw that with the Jazz. They have to figure out something with their bench. And I don't know, would they re-sign so far as Jeremy Grant and Raymond Felton? And good luck to OKC, I guess is all I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully they did bring Paul George back. So it's not all for naught. We're not taking two steps. I know he's had an up and down career to be sure, but definitely some talent there that maybe they can unlock and give a little bit of depth. I'm not sure what they're doing on the wings there. Ray Felton as a backup isn't that great. They also need a two coming off the bench, and I'm not sure who can fill that role for them. What do you guys see as the biggest X factor for the Thunder? How can they improve upon last year?
I think they'll do better this year without Melo and having Paul George take more all of Melo's possessions, essentially. I think that'll be good. It'll be good.
Definitely addition by subtraction here.
Right. I think it'll be good to see him or Paul George finally be the Paul George that we were kind of expecting to see these last few years. I mean, because the year before he was hurt, or was it 2 years ago? It's kind of been a while since we've seen him open it up all the way. So I'm excited to see that this year.
Yeah, I'd love to see them share the ball a bit more. I mean, Russ averaged a triple-double, but a lot of it is off him holding the ball for pretty long, dribbling out the shot clock, running a pick and roll, and drawing a ton of attention. I mean, I think he's a great player. He's very versatile. But if they really want to make a deep run, there's got to be some actual ball movement, like some hockey assists instead of the direct pick and roll assists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if Melo's not there, it'll be interesting to see them try to replicate a success of, let's say, Kyrie and LeBron, where it's a ball-dominant guard with a ball-dominant wing. Neither of them particularly great shooters. Well, actually, Kyrie was a great shooter. Mm-hmm. But kind of just taking turns running isolation plays and getting their shooters open in the corner or the big well into the basket. But I'm not sure if Westbrook and Paul George are the same level of talent as Kyrie and LeBron, if I'm going to compare those two.
You're not sure?
Hot take. So, hot take.
Got a lot of hot takes this episode. But, yeah, I mean, that's just where I see them going. I think they'll make the playoffs again, but I don't think they'll get very far.
Yeah, it seems like Billy Donovan getting this crew together and acting really as a team, which is hard to do with Russ, but you got to try. One out for Nick Collison retiring. I don't know if you guys are Rock Chalk here, but what a legend. So sorry for OKC fans to see him go finally.
Yeah.
And the Sonics fan still hanging on. I think he was one of the last remaining survivors.
Yeah, definitely. I think Brian made a good point, too, about the ball movement. NBA is at a point right now where efficiency is so high that if you're a team that tries to rely on ISO ball like a lot of teams did in the early 2000s, you're not going to be successful.
No chance.
No, KC does need to work on those hockey assists in order to at least get out of the first round.
Yeah, and we'll see if they even make it this year. I think they will. I think they have enough talent. What do you guys say?
Absolutely. They're a playoff team again.
Yep. They're making playoffs.
You heard it here first. All right, guys. The team that they lost to last year was the Jazz. So this is one of the more interesting teams, I think, from a basketball standpoint. They have Donovan Mitchell, who's obviously the fantastic actual rookie last year, come in and save the day. Rudy Gobert, everybody loves. Joe Ingles, I mean, they have everybody there. That's a lot of fun. And a good group of guys that seem to, you know, be the antithesis almost of the Thunder and being able to operate as that team and that unit, both defensively and offensively, to make it happen. Finishing 48-34 for fifth in the West. You know, this was a pretty solid overall team offensively, right in the middle of the pack, but, you know, with Rudy obviously leading the way on the defensive end. How do you guys feel about the Jazz last season?
I love the Jazz. Love the Jazz. They're so fun defensively. And they're, I mean, obviously with Gobert in the center, like you said. But now with Donovan Mitchell, who's probably one of the most exciting players in the NBA last year, it's so much fun to watch. They're like young. Dante Exum finally is clicking a little bit. We saw that in the playoffs. It only took 3 years for him to show some sort of positive.
Awesome.
I think the Jazz are close. They're close to being a contender. As soon as the Warriors kind of start to break up, Jazz should be right there.
Yeah, they were second in the league in defense. Gobert, I think he won Defensive Player of the Year this year, yeah?
He did.
First team all defense. They've got Jay Crowder from the Cavs. Mm-hmm. Another person who can guard both the post and the wing.
Yeah.
Donovan. By the way, GK, I love that you had to include actual rookie when mentioning him. But Donovan Mitchell with
one. It is a great team that they've assembled there in Utah. And, you know, I think it was on one of the last Zach Lowe podcasts where he was talking with Rudy Gobert, which is a good podcast coming in. Last season, they lost Gordon Hayward. And he's like, you know, it's fine, guys. The people that want to be here in Utah. And that's what we're going to make work. And they sure did. So great to see that they got Donovan Mitchell. And just as a small market franchise fan, being able to compete still yet again and continue to be the Utah Jazz like they always are.
Yeah, Mitchell was just stellar. I mean,
incredible.
13th pick in the draft, same draft number as Kobe, for those of you who don't know.
And Devin Booker.
But
obviously.
But yeah, Donovan went from 21 points per game in the regular season. And against OKC, he upped that to 29 a game against a very talented team. Unfortunately, that dipped against the Rockets, who have a really stellar defense. But I'm excited that he's hyped to be in Utah. I mean, you saw him in the NBA draft, welcoming their new draft pick. He's seems like he's over in summer league, also hyping them up. So he seems very committed to making Utah work, and just a scorer.
I mean, he's
a gamer.
Pure.
Yeah. No doubt. Talk about like a player that's good in the regular season and then elevating their games in the playoffs. And that's so hard to do. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, he showed up. He showed out.
Big, big time. So that was really cool to see. I think it was overall a quiet year for the Jazz. Let's pull that up here. In terms of the offseason, we're looking at, yes, Grayson Allen, which should be an interesting, you know, can't have enough shooting. Yeah, I don't know how you guys personally feel about Grayson, but
that was a business pick. Come on. Grayson Allen wasn't going to be anywhere else outside of Utah and maybe, I don't know, Milwaukee. That was a fan favorite.
There you go. But yeah, I love, you know, adding a competitive player and a shooter is usually a safe place, especially at the end of after the lottery. Beyond that, they brought Derek Favors back for two more years, re-signed Dante for another $11 million deal, which I think is a little bit high, but still, you know, able to be valued if he plays a little bit better, and healthy is the big thing for him.
Yeah.
That's really the big offseason for them. So I think it's bringing people back and hopefully expanding upon what they built, seeing that second year leap from the rookie.
Yeah. And shout out for Ricky Rubio for playing really well this year too.
Yeah. How could you not love Ricky? Still improving every single year. So we'll see how his career ends up.
Yeah.
But I'm a fan. Cool, guys. Let's move on. Playoffs, what do we say? Jazz, continue?
Absolutely. They'll be back.
They'll be there. Dunking on fools.
Yeah, I think they got to be. Just too stable when everybody else seems in flux. So finally, we're down to the Blazers. Blazers actually won this division at 49-33, obviously led by Dame and CJ. How do you guys feel about this Blazers team last year?
Ah, man, I feel like this was the toughest team to try to get a take on.
Yeah.
Dame played really well this year. He was fourth in the MVP voting. First team All-NBA from Oakland, from the Bay Area. So a lot of love for Dame in that regards. But this was his worst playoffs. It was the first time in his playoff career that he's averaged less than 20 a game. His scoring from the regular season to the playoffs dipped by 8 points. And he actually had 4 turnovers a game in the playoffs.
Ooh.
And credit to the Pelicans for whatever defensive scheme that they put. I know Rondo and Drew Holiday are some hounds on the defensive end. So tough to get by those guys, but just pretty disappointing that they got swept in the first round, having such a strong showing in the regular season.
Yeah.
He looked lost out there against the Pelicans. I mean, when you have those defensive wings plus Anthony Davis able to switch so well, it's a hard thing to compete with.
Yeah. I think I was going to have that as my most disappointed team of the West this year over the Thunder, or the Blazers. So I think they played excellent through the season. Clearly, they're third in the West, and we're competing with all the top dogs this year. Yeah. Part of it is Dame underperformed greatly. And I think they just caught the Pelicans at the wrong time. Boogie went down. Anthony Davis started playing Superman basketball. And then Drew Holiday came back and started playing his all-star level. And Rondo is hitting threes in the playoff Rondo. It was kind of just the perfect mixture for the Blazers to get screwed. I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of hard to predict what will happen next year. The regular season-wise, I mean, Dame and CJ are the two of the most entertaining backcourt, or they're like the top three or top two most entertaining backcourt in the NBA. So it's fun to always watch them. I was kind of disappointed that they didn't keep Napier because he was really good for them off the bench throughout the whole year, and was surprised that he didn't play that much in the Pelican series when they needed him like for that six-man point. But I don't know. I'm curious of what happens this next year. I still think that they make it. They were – because what's his name? Their big man was out for a lot of the playoffs, right?
Nurkic.
Yeah. So, and getting him healthy and back out there, because he's kind of like Jokic, but like a poor man's version of Jokic.
Yeah.
But a better, much better back to the basket game, mm-hmm. like on the block, because he's a more physical player than Jokic is.
Yeah.
But he's a good passer, and they can work the offense with him, and he's great off the pick and rolls with both CJ and Dame. So I think I would have them still in the same type of record and think they're okay, but it's just, I don't know, I was disappointed in that first round. Like a sweep? That's crazy.
Yeah. I just don't know where they go having both Dame and CJ.
Yeah, that's like, the big question.
At their peak, they've given the Warriors some fits. I mean, they've played the Warriors, I think, twice in the past three seasons in the playoffs. And they've both looked really incredible in those series, but they've lost them maybe 4-1 both times. And I'm just not really sure what their ceiling is or if they need to trade and switch it up. I feel like it's the latter. I think they mm-hmm. should part ways with either Dame or CJ. If I were to choose between the two, I'd definitely go with Dame. I think CJ is a better scorer, but Dame is a better playmaker. And he's also Dame delivers in the fourth quarter, so you can't really underplay that. But, yeah, I think having those two may not really work out for them moving forward. Like, they'll still make the playoffs, but if they're trying to do more, then they should make a move.
Yeah, it's tough. I think what really hurt them here is the Evan Turner, the big deals that they had, where you're not able to add that third player now too easily around those two. And so you kind of have to, you know, take two steps back to go one forward, I think, and try to move on from one of these guys, I would say. I didn't realize they're locked up for so long now, to 2021 for a while.
Yeah. That Evan Turner signing, although Evan is, I think, a key player for the Nuggets, he's been able to avoid the bust title, I feel like, because he's not the superstar that we thought he was going to be coming out of Ohio State, but.
Yeah. What was he, the fourth overall pick then?
Yeah, I think he was.
Oh, second.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's not a number two guy who should be a superstar on the NBA team as you expect to be picked that high, but he's still a really highly productive type third role smart player. But, yeah, $17 million a year is a lot of money, taking up a lot of cap space for them to be able to get that third guy, or maybe – I don't even know what they really need. It's like another bench scorer. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to have a guy that can draw fouls and get to the line. Mm-hmm. Having CJ and Dame, like, you have this whole backcourt wrapped up, but you have to have someone that can, you know, push that defense, give them a little bit more spacing. But certainly a tough player to find there and a tough role to fill. I'm not sure how Blazers fans feel today. You know, are you glad you have Dame and just going to ride that out? I totally get that as a Suns fan, but at the same time, maybe it's time to make that change. I think I actually have them dropping out of the playoffs this year. How do you guys feel?
I say they make it again. Because I don't think they dropped off, and they're going to get their big man back. But I don't think they'll do anything in the playoffs.
I think the Blazers and the Pelicans don't make the playoffs to make room for the Nuggets and Lakers this year.
Interesting.
Pelicans don't make it. That's a hot take.
But Lake Show.
Write it down.
Lake Show and Nuggets.
Word.
I like those picks. I can't argue that, man. I think the Pelicans are putting a lot of faith, and rightfully so, in Anthony Davis. But I don't think they don't even have playoff Rondo anymore. So I'm not sure what you're going to get from the rest of that squad. Anyways, that's for another episode coming in a couple weeks here.
Yeah.
All right, cool, guys. So I think that wraps it up for the Northwest Division. Is there anything you guys want to do to kind of give an overview? This is a damn good division. I think that's one thing we can all agree on.
Yeah. Probably best division in basketball. Definitely the best division in basketball, right?
Yeah, certainly most 100%. Competitive. It should be a fun one. I do wish, because of things like this, that divisions mattered more in basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that would help so much with players gravitating towards championships. Like, we should be getting a little bit more proud that the Blazers won this division last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, with all the attention going to the Rockets and the Warriors, I think not many people realize how deep the West actually is. Just seven other teams battling for the 3 through 9 spots and one game separating them.
Yeah.
And the 3 seed and the, I mean, like the 8th seed could have easily have been the 3rd seed. So just
crazy.
Hopefully another season of this coming up. And actually it's going to expand now with the Lakers getting so good.
Oh, man. Oh, man. April's going to be so exciting.
Yeah, sure should be. All right, guys. Let's do a little postgame here.
Let's see what I got.
Not for his dev.
I got a fun fact. I got a fun fact.
What's new in the life?
At the 2009 NBA draft, there's only one player who remains on that team they were drafted by.
Ooh.
Who's that player?
From the 2009?
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time ago.
Can you give us a hint? Division? Conference?
West.
That was 9. So they got to be like 28, 29. I mean, is it Dame?
No. Dame was, I think, drafted 2000, had to be 11 or 12.
What about division, Dev?
Pacific.
Pacific division?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Steph?
It is Steph.
Damn, wow. But I win. A Nintendo Switch.
Hey, man, that's still
sponsored by Nintendo.
Sponsored by Andrew? Nintendo. I love the Switch.
Hey, but fuck JJ. Yeah.
Maybe the more we say it every episode, the likelier a sponsorship happens.
I think that's the only way we can do it, man.
The new Octopath Traveler out now for Nintendo Switch. I actually heard that is a pretty good RPG game for those who are interested in those.
Is that right? I need to get on this Switch hype. I need to pull the trigger and get one here.
It's very fun, man. Mario Tennis, Mario Kart, bring your Switch wherever you're at. And if you have some friends that have it too, connects so easily.
Wow.
A lot of fun.
Hey, that sounds like an ad.
Damn, bro.
Nintendo Switch.
You're giving up a lot of free ad space right now.
Just giving away money. Yeah, so I saw a movie this weekend. We saw we got about, you know, 5 milligrams of a nice edible. Go see Skyscraper. See Skyscraper and enjoy yourselves. It is everything you want in a rock climbing the largest building in the universe that you could ever imagine.
Does he people's elbow it, though?
So the fun fact is he lost a leg, and that's like his, you know, character flaw. But he uses that multiple times throughout the film to save the day.
What?
Yeah. So, yeah, the leg really becomes a character.
The key part of this is that you need to take an edible before watching this movie.
I can't disagree with this. But, you know, that's the world we live in these days.
I respect it. It doesn't have that quite high of a rating on Rotten Tomatoes, let me tell you.
It's a pretty impressive on IMDb, though, if you pull that up.
Yeah. All right. We'll see.
I'm just saying, if you want a good time, thank you later.
Well, I'm not going to turn down a chance to watch a Dwayne Johnson movie, so yeah. I'll probably end up watching this soon.
I just hope over time, this is all some scheme of a Dwayne Johnson cinematic universe that it all just connects together somehow.
Well, did you guys see the, what is it? Fast and the Furious, him and Idris.
Mm-mm. Oh, that's the next one. Since they got rid of Tyrese, right?
They're doing a spinoff here.
Oh man.
The Rock and Idris. Yeah. Should be a fun one. Anyway, that's my suggestion of the week. Go see that movie and thank me later. It is as terrible and awesome as you would expect. The other thing that was kind of cool, so I didn't know if you guys saw this on RNBA, which I live on, but every NBA logo ranked by the 6,000 roughly fans that were on that. Have you guys seen this?
No,
I have not. No,
some pretty good data. So looking at the top three teams here, we got the Bucks, we got the Timberwolves, and we got the Nuggets. How do you guys feel about this?
I agree. I think Bucks easily have the best logo in the NBA.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, they were as good of a rebrand as the Clippers were bad.
Yeah. As you can tell by this chart.
That's amazing. Oh, my gosh. It looks so dated. It looks like the Magic's old logo.
So bad. Like the Detroit Pistons logo of 100 years beat out the Clippers.
Yeah. That's the iconic. Pistons logo is timeless, though. That's a great logo.
That one is, yeah, Portland, too. Like, you do not ever have to change that. Yeah.
Same with the Lakers and the Celtics.
Yeah, yeah, no chance of changing that.
Pacers have to change theirs. I don't know. I've never been a fan of the Pacers logo.
Yeah, I would agree with that one. Which one's the most surprisingly good one on here? Highest rated?
Warriors.
Yeah, so the Warriors come in at 7th here.
I really don't like our logo. I think it's okay.
Yeah, I think it's definitely middle of the pack, maybe worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Well, it's associated with winning, and people like winning, so
that's true.
Yeah,
that's
why you're into that
so highly. Yeah. Or you can be a Clipper fan.
Hey, man, I'm buying the Jerry West Clipper stock right now. I'll take everybody's.
They've been pretty quiet over there.
They're just buying their time, man.
Which worries me, because Jerry West, we discussed on the first episode.
Yeah, I also don't know how the Mavericks, I'm sorry, but Mavericks might be worse than the Clippers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's close.
That's a good call.
Yeah. Which one should be the highest here that's not?
That's not?
Yeah, which one is underrated here?
Suns.
I didn't want to say it, but I'm glad you did, Dev.
I like Suns.
Suns is for sure underrated.
I like the Pistons one, too.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But yeah, Suns is the only, what is that, a parallelogram?
Yeah, look at Brian.
Hey, y'all, I told you I did some research for this episode.
Bro.
All right, good stuff, guys. Should we wrap up this post game here?
Yeah, I like that.
All right. Follow us on Hoopity Scoop. Give us a review if you enjoyed the show, or if you didn't, that's okay too. And send in some questions, I guess, right? Is that what we're looking for, guys? We'll take questions next episode.
Questions.
What division are we covering?
It's a good question. What division do the people want us to cover?
Choose it, GK.
Let's move on to the Southwest, guys.
Let's go.
You would choose the Southwest.
Yeah, I'm ready to get down on that division.
All right. Join us next week. We'll go over the Southwest Division and talk Mavs, Rockets, Grizz, Pellies, and Spurs. Should be a fun one. Have a good week.
Bye.